was a real nice guy. Don't call him a creeper. You'll pay for this. Don't call him a creeper.
At WMFO Medford, Mike Newman and Mike Stewart here, and Mike was just actually acting out that song right in front of me. We've been talking with Richie Parsons, who was in the band Unnatural Acts, and we heard The Creeper, and they saved Hitler's brain. And Richie, as you said, that was very comic bookish for sure.
100%,
maybe 200%, but that's not possible.
Yeah, we're listening to WMFO in Medford.
And we do have someone else joining us on the line, Mike, to the honors.
A person from that area, and now a visual artist in Long Island, I believe. And people might know him from a band in the mid-70s, late-70s, called La Peste. And they got a lot of notoriety, and then Peter did a band called the Peter Dayton Band. So welcome, Peter Dayton, to WMFO.
Hey, Peter.
Well, thanks. Hi. Hey, Richie.
Peter, how are you?
Very, just talking to me now. Oh my God, how you doing, man? Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Jesus Christ.
You guys just want to catch up? We can just hang.
Oh yeah. No, seriously, all is well here. How are you guys doing?
We're all doing really well. It's it's 50 degrees here in Boston today on December 23rd, so weird, but great.
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit better. I had a little accident several weeks ago where I went to step out of my truck, my knee let go, and I fell in the truck and decided to roll on me. But I'm still here, and that's important.
That's what happens at 57.
Oh, more than that, unfortunately.
So that was pretty cool to hear. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What just happened? I just lost you guys.
Oh, I had a little accident. My knee let go, and in the middle of a very busy street I live on, and my truck almost ran me over. But, you know, I'm doing okay.
The transmission was broken, okay. And it almost ran over.
Yeah.
Everybody's here, though. That's what matters.
That's important. Correct. We're looking at the, we're looking up, not looking down. So, anyways, I first knew of you, Peter, through Roger Tripp. And I was going to Mass Art. I was a sculpture major, photography minor. And I'd go up in the cafeteria. And in the cafeteria, there was Roger. And there was Mark.
Yep.
And there was Caroline.
Oh, my God.
And Nancy. And I talked to them. They were great. They were great.
That's the past.
Yeah. But Roger would always go.
Right there.
You know, Roger would talk about music. He goes, oh, you got to come and see my band. I go, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I was into like, you know, Clapton and, you know, soft rock and whatever at the time. And so he goes, no, we're playing this place called Cantone. So I said, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. A friend of mine years earlier had done did a party there, and they played, you know, they played jazz, and the people come up and go, do you know any Chuck Berry? And then they end up playing Chuck Berry. So I go down to this place, Cantone's down in Broad Street, and I walk in, and there's these three guys, and there's little mirrors behind you, and you started playing. I go, these guys got something going on. So that was the beginning part of the path. How far in were you when you started playing Cantone's?
Oh, that was really quite the beginning. We used to go there, and I guess, Richie, you did too, right? Together we'd go there and see the Real Kids. The Real Kids were the band that was doing it there, as far as I could tell.
Yeah.
And I think they were also driving the taxis, and there were taxis involved at Cantone's. No, am I wrong?
No, they were driving. I got to tip my hat to La Peste and Unnatural Acts and the Nervous Eaters and the Real Kids and the Atlantics, because my girlfriends in college always loved going because she could dance to them. So I tip my hat.
Right, sure. Yeah,
probably half the reason we played music was because that's how I could meet girls.
That's always the reason.
Cantone's was a lifesaver. It was the greatest. I never had a better time in my life than playing there. The Real Kids, we met them, and then they said, why don't you come and play? And we did, and I remember when they saw us, they were like scratching their heads, like thinking, maybe not.
I was just telling the same.
But it all
I was
worked
just
out,
saying
man.
The same.
They were pure rock and roll, and we were definitely on the edge of something something different, but They came around, I think. But I always loved them a lot. They were great.
Would you consider your band, La Peste, the first art punk band in Boston? Or is that just a term that doesn't really apply?
Well, it depends. I mean, I don't know. Richie can vouch for this. I thought we were the first band that maybe had a certain edge that wasn't in any other band.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it, but there was something going on with us that, I mean, we practiced so much before we played at Cantone's, before we ever played out. And so we played at the Birdcage that previous summer.
Yeah, we had talked about that with Richie earlier.
Yeah, that was amazing. And we had to play five sets a night, Thursday through Sunday, that whole summer. So we got extremely, extremely tight, and we just would make stuff up on the spot. And that was really what happened for us, and that's how we got to where we got eventually.
So I'd asked Richie this earlier. What was your impressions of the scene during that transition time? Because, you know, you and Richie got thrown in the middle of it, where you had the older bands, and now you're coming in, and you're the new kids on the block, kind of more or less to say.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty easy. I can see like a linkage, like before La Peste could even really play, we were going to the Rat, the three of us and other friends, to see like Fox Pass, Ready Teddy, The Mez, The Inflictors, There were a bunch of bands. Some of them were very straightforward rock and roll, but it was exciting just to see these bands do a set and like do their own thing, you know?
Do you remember?
It was all original, too, back then.
Do either one of you remember this band? I just remember the band was called Slash. I remember Lolly Doll, the girl group type, but there was a band called Slash. Do you remember them at all?
Oh, Lori Doll was in Tracks.
Yeah, Tracks with Lori Doll. Slash, no, doesn't ring any bells.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there's if people don't know, there's some recordings out. Originally, with both bands, you both had 45s out. Peter, you had the Better Off Dead with the Black. And Richie, you had Save Hitler's Brains. What was the backside of Save Hitler's Brains, Richie?
It was actually a four-song EP.
Oh, it was a four-song EP. Okay, what were the four songs?
Hitler's Brain, Creeper, Summertime, and The Plug.
That's right, correct.
And I remember the first time I heard Better Off Dead, Oedipus played it on the Demi Long.
That's right.
On a Saturday afternoon. And I had seen Lepest at the Mark Store Benefit on September 11th, 1977.
September 11th.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
I used to 11/77.
Right.
That's crazy.
I used to.
Hey, Richie, where did you and I first meet?
I'm thinking that.
How did
was
we first meet?
Jesus. I don't know if it was in the lounge at the Emerson College, because I remember the first comment you gave me. There was a bar in Emerson College, but do you have a different recollection?
Right. I have no idea, but I know when we did meet, we were fast friends.
Oh, yeah. We were fast friends, but it was funny because the first thing you told me was, I had the worst amp and the worst guitar sound you ever heard.
Well, that's something you're going to remember.
Holy shit. I'm such an asshole. What was the guitar?
It was my SG and my Supro. Yeah, I still got them.
Wow.
You were playing through a Supro and I complained?
Yeah. Well, it might have been that.
Oh, my God.
Peter, I got to ask you about your single, the Better Off Dead single. The production level was really, really good on that. I think I read somewhere that you had some guys that were doing like metal or something that produced that for you.
No, it was really weird. We Carolyn Bertram, the woman that you know from Mass Art.
Yeah, she was the executive producer, right?
She had a little bit of money that she allowed us to use the single. And she literally looked in like the yellow pages for a producer. And somehow we found this guy from Philadelphia named D.B. Schreier. And no one knew who he was, and he came to our loft. He agreed to do it. He came to our loft. He heard us, and he said, "I know what to do. I'm just going to put everything on 10."
Yeah,
we were like, cool, man.
That must be before amps went to 11.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Somebody got my joke.
Way before his final tap.
Yeah, it was.
Now, way before. This is way before. What was this? We Were All the Flower Children or whatever, that song, the early one. Anyway, which was kind of amazing. So there was none of this, like, talking about overdubs and what we were going to do and what your direction you were going in and blah, 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 and how commercial you had to be. So we ended up at Intermedia Sound, which became the Synchro Sound, the Cars studio on Newberry. And the engineer was Bob Schott, S-C-H-O-T-T, who we didn't know either. And they just put us in there, and we did that in about, 3 hours, both sides, or 4 hours maybe. A little bit of overdub on the B-side. And then I remember right at that moment, we were trying to get Caroline to say, look, we should just keep going with this because this is the time and everything. But we didn't quite have the money to do that.
Yeah.
We could have done an album right there. You know, we really could have done an album right there. And the sound of Better Off Dead, I just can't. I never really equaled that again. I don't know.
It was a magic moment.
Because the next one,
what'd you say, Richie?
The sound was just
absolutely outstanding. The sound quality far superior to anything that was happening at that time.
And a lot of people, you know, I think it's, you know, I've been, you know, I've talked to John Felice a little bit, and I've, you know, his interviews, and he feels totally differently about the first Real Kids album.
Right.
Billy Bourgeois is a friend of mine, God rest his soul. And, you know, that album, like your single, and actually, you know, a Richie single, they just stand out. They're just more than moments. They just really hit you correctly.
Right. Yeah, they're not commercial.
Yeah. Now,
they're real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Great way to put it.
I have in front of me two DVDs. I mean, excuse me, CDs of La Peste. One is like the original cover, and it has, you know, you guys at the club, and then this one called Better Off La Peste. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that. I actually have the DVD also, La Peste DVD, in front of me.
Jan Crocker.
Yeah, Jan Crocker. And
yeah, that's
really cool. I contributed a couple stills of the original La Peste and the second version of La Peste, which we'll talk about later. That was, you had, with a couple people in the cars were interested in your band and helping you guys, right?
Right. Yeah, Rick Ocasek would come down to Cantone's once, you know, a couple times, and he loved it. He loved La Peste. And so I became friendly with him, and he was really generous and really nice, and we had quite a good relationship then. I didn't know I didn't really realize what was going on, but he was about, I don't know, maybe 10 years older than me. I'm not really sure.
Was that Captain Swing, or was he doing the cars already?
This is the cars. Yeah. Right when they, this is like 79, so their record came out in 79, right?
Or
78?
Yeah, right around there.
So it's right when he was hitting it, but I didn't consider them a very interesting band. I don't know. I was just like, I had one thing on my mind, and that was, you know, the Ramones, the Damned, the Clash, less so, and just sort of what was going on around me.
Yeah.
So they seem to be commercial, what their sound to me. But when I hear it now, when you hear it now, it's just so good. You just can't believe that, you know, that was happening at the same time too. That really was new wave.
Now
their sound.
Do you both have a lot of the same influences, Richie and Peter?
Probably, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, especially at that time, everything Peter just said, Ramones, Damned, the English stuff was always really well produced. You know, the American stuff was, you know, probably a little more harder edged. I don't know, yeah, the Clash, seeing the Clash out of its square was a life changer. I mean, probably all the same stuff for sure.
I remember that a lot of people wanted La Peste to be the opener for the Clash at the Harvard Square Theater.
Don't know much about that.
Yeah, there was a lot of call for that.
I'm glad the Rentals did it, because I was very close to them.
Yeah, they were good guys.
I named that band.
Wow.
And they started out using our equipment. That's how they got going, because they were my video teachers at museum school, Jeff and Jane.
Yeah. I used to see you play at the museum
school.
I used to see you play at the museum school, and you were a painter there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There used to be gigs there. I would come over with my girlfriend Heidi, and we would dance. We had a lot of good times.
Right.
Is there anything you would like to tell us about the DVD or the recordings that we might not know about? Or your impressions?
You know, my impressions are, and recently Albert O sent me a cassette with about 10 La Peste songs on it, which is sort of like, I think some of it's from Better Off La Peste, the second compilation or whatever you call that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I really listen back to it, I really am disappointed in myself that I didn't stick it out longer and make more produced records.
Yeah.
The songs are really good. And it's hard to say that when you've written them and play them, you know what I mean, Richie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You don't know how good your songs are until you really, really get far away from them and hear them. I mean, it's really interesting.
Well, you know.
I'm just glad we recorded some stuff. I would have loved to have done an album right at the time of that La Peste single, though. That would have been really good.
I,
And do you know that? Do you guys know that LaPest got into John Peel's record box?
No.
Do you know
no idea.
That?
No.
Richie, did you know that?
I did not. That's totally awesome.
Oh my God! About 6 or 7 years ago, I got a call from this film producer in England saying, "I don't know if you know this, but your band was in John Peel's personal wooden record box, the 150 singles of all time." And I literally didn't know what he was talking about. And then it hit me like John Peel had LaPest.
Wow!
And I thought he was playing on the radio. And then it became one of his favorite singles. So that's like, for me, that's the biggest artistic thing that's, you know, the validation of that is just unbelievable. Had there been an internet then, the LaPest story would have been so different because, you know, or if I'd stuck it out another year or gotten more recordings done, we would have gone over there and recorded with him. Absolutely.
I think
awesome.
I think you and Richie could have gone over Europe,
amazing.
And I think you and Richie could have gone over with your bands and really made a big impression. I think you would have done really great.
Right, it would have been interesting to see if we'd be constantly spit out.
You can only hope.
Well, you know, and you always, when I've had conversation, you call yourself the reluctant punk. One thing I want to tell you, I've been in the band The Brigands it's been around since 1982. We cover two LaPest songs. We cover Spy Master and Acid Test. The Neighborhoods cover Spy Master. Gangrene covered you and the Dune Buggies. We still love you, and as we love Richie's bands in Boston. Both you guys mean so much to us, and we always wanted to tip our hats to you guys.
I'll tell you, a Natural Acts play a LaPest song every set we play now. Every set we do, we have we pick from two or three of them. So that we usually do.
Wait, I thought that was your last gig ever, the last one.
It's always
the last gig ever for that month.
You're like the Kiss of Boston punk.
So before we transition to talk about the Peter Dayton band, okay, so you leave the band, and all of a sudden there's a new version of LaPest with a person calling himself Ian Stevens. His real name is Steven something or other. And I understand, as I got the CD here, that they came very close to being signed. I guess Island Records had to decide between them and another band called U2. How did you feel about that? Did you know about that?
I knew that they, you know, first of all, just to set the record straight, I totally regret leaving LaPest that soon. It was kind of out of the, you know, I was really wasted.
Yeah.
I was totally burnt out. It was kind of scary. I just wish I could have taken a little time and said, you know, we just should make a record and concentrate on that. But at the time, and Richie knows this really well, there was no support system in Boston except for, what was it, TBS? No,
TBS.
It was TBS, late NBR,
yeah.
NERS was playing you guys, too.
So,
yeah.
Right. So, like, for instance, BCN wouldn't touch Better Off Dead for various reasons. Some of them, if you listen closely, you'll know why. But it was very difficult. And there was no management thing. There was no one there to really, like, I don't know. Am I being like a pussy here talking like that or what? Because it just seemed really difficult. Going.
Well, you know, years will give you a different perspective. I mean, from everything I've read about when you decided to leave and go over to France, nobody was expecting that. It sent shockwaves through everybody around here.
Sure.
I remember, I think it was like a Modern Methods thing at the Channel, and the new LaPest was on there, and the Peter Dayton band, and you did Better Off Dead. Do you remember that?
Okay.
Yeah, right.
You did.
No, I don't.
It happened.
Yeah, well, that was my fault, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that was, you know, it was just, it shouldn't have been like that. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Did you end up continuing talking with the people in the band, or was there like a separation? You didn't talk.
It was so intense that we did not talk after that, and I feel terrible about it. Mm. I really disappointed them.
I'm pretty rich,
but you got to remember at the time, yeah. You know, my hopes for punk rock were slowly being. Or quickly being eroded due to the fact that the Sex Pistols, I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
Yeah.
Them.
They kind of ruined things for everyone in terms of how they dealt with the record labels.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't long, right when that was happening, all the labels that the people that I knew a little bit about were thinking, well, we're not going to touch that. I mean, whatever. And even the Ramones, you know, you got to remember the Ramones, who LePest played with a number of times, mm-hmm. and I knew the management. I knew Danny Fields?
Danny Fields.
Lisa Stein, I believe, were the two.
Yeah. Linda.
You know, they weren't selling any records.
Yeah.
In the real world. They were not selling anything. So that was a really difficult time, and I remember going to meet with... Danny Fields about LePest because he thought we were great,
mm-hmm.
And he said, "You know, I hate to tell you this, but we're changing our direction here. We're going to work with a guy called Steve Forbert."
Yeah.
Now I know Richie knows who that is.
I know who it is.
Phone singer guy, remember him?
Yeah.
Remember that phone singer guy? Okay, he was going to be huge, and the record business was just. You know, impenetrable, basically.
And we should have just done it
on our own as we were doing it.
Sire ended up signing Madonna.
Yep. Yeah. Sure.
Now, you had a band called the Peter Dayton Band. I have actually a cassette here of the Peter Dayton Band, and I have Love It for a Sight, which was your EP.
Okay.
Want to fill people in a little history about that band and what you did with that?
Well, the Peter Dayton Band came about by mistake. I was sort of like, I'd gone away with my girlfriend from Boston. We went away for a month, way far away, and I got a call from Judy from the Map. And she said, you know, do you want to play at the benefit we're doing on Thayer Street and, you know, beginning of September? And I just said, sure, I don't have a band, but I'll do it. So that's how the band started.
Oh, wow.
And it kind of turned into, you know, I was kind of, to me, Peter Dayton Band is not as interesting as LePest, because LePest could have done a lot of things artistically that I couldn't have been able to do just as a solo person.
Yeah.
But, I went more middle of the road, new wave, commercial in a way, but it was still pretty hard rock, and I'm proud of some of the songs. And, you know, I thought I wrote some, I mean, Perfect Wave I love.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Stuck in the Same Refrain. You know, those are good songs. Surprised that I even wrote them thinking back. So I had that too. But that record came about with a basic kind of pushed me towards that direction, thinking I needed better musicians.
Yeah.
Which, you know, thinking back on that, and by the way, Rick Ocasek, that's, you know, God rest his soul.
Yeah, I know.
The most supportive guy, the most wonderful guy, you know. I wish I could have stayed better friends with him, but things really changed quickly once those guys took off.
I would be like in the underground, and I'd Rick Ocasek or Oedipus would be next to me, and I would always ask about you. And I remember Oedipus once telling me, he goes, well, Peter is a big pop star in France, so you might be able to fill us in on that a little bit.
Okay, so I did Peter Dayton Band from like 1980 to 1985 and a half. And then I was really, really sort of like over it and didn't know where it was going, sort of fizzling out. And I said, shit, I'm going to go to France for 6 months. I had $6,000 in my name. And I thought I'd go for 6 months and just figure out what I was, you know, what was going to happen. I was thinking of getting back into visual art. And so I left my first wife there in my apartment and everything and just went to France. 2.5 years later, I'm still there. I got signed to a record deal within 3 months there on CBS Epic Records just by meeting someone and playing them a quick demo. So So I was on French TV, and plus I'd lived in France when I was younger in a school program, so I could speak French. So I was literally on French TV wearing a cowboy hat, a Perfecto leather jacket, blue jeans, Converse sneakers, talking in French to the interviewer guy. They're playing my record. It was just a hoot. It was crazy. Everything was lip sync. It was just the most artificial situation, but it was pretty fun. And then I did another record there, but the guy that signed me was fired shortly after that record was recorded and it never saw the light of day.
Mm. Is there going to be any type of retrospective or collection of any of this stuff?
It's all, you can find it all on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you just look for Peter Dayton LaPest, there's a lot of stuff there. But I've never spent enough time putting it all together in a real way. Other people have done that for me.
Okay, so the Pest CDs were done by somebody else?
Yes.
Okay.
And do you know about the Better Off Dead LaPest limited edition that came out on Wharf Cat Records about 4 years ago?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
They copied the single completely. The only thing they didn't do exactly was the weight of the sleeve, but the record sleeve is harder. It's a 45. It's just remastered, slightly hotter than the original. Richie, do you know about that?
No, I'm not familiar with that one.
Wharf Cat Records in Brooklyn. I think they sold out, but it was really nice what they did. It came out beautifully.
So it seems like you guys were involved with Matador Records and Dionysus Records and this other label.
And Matador came about because Spencer Gates, Richie.
And Billy Bacon.
Spencer Gates. Yeah, Spencer Gates and Billy Bacon got involved. And he took the idea to Matador through Spencer to try to raise money for Roger Tripp's wife and kids. Roger had recently been in that car accident and passed away.
Yeah, that's a sad
drummer.
Thing. Yeah.
And it was really, really sad. And so we all agreed to do it. And Spencer pushed it. And the guy, Gerard Cosley from Matador, was a fan of LaPest, even though he was probably 13 when we were really playing out.
Yeah.
And so they put that out, and that was really, really well done and really, you know, really good shot in the arm. And that label was good, and they continue to be good. And so that was really great. Dionysus, I don't know, I don't really remember who those people are. I think they're from California, but they simply just sort of asked me if they could do it, and I said, fine. They might have given me a few $100 or something.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure, but so that came out. And then there was that guy from, Richie knows this, he was on the label, the one from Italy.
Pia Paolo.
What's the label? Yeah. There's a LaPest record. It's an LP actually. Similar to the Dionysus, but that's pretty good too.
Yeah.
What was that guy's name?
Pia Paolo.
And what was the label?
It's going to come to me. He put out the Future Dads record too, and he put out a Dogs record and a ton of
right.
stuff.
Yeah. Right, right. So that was cool. That was cool. Yeah, yep. He didn't put out any Unnatural Acts?
No. You know, I had a label in Finland put out the Acts record. So
wow.
It was kind of recent. Yeah, it was recent enough to see Apollo. We didn't have anything better we could give him, you know?
Wow, did you play in Finland?
No, I haven't gone to play in Finland, but I've threatened the guy because he's been like 3 times.
That would be sick.
Yeah.
You'd attract all the death metal guys.
Yeah, right.
What is that, black metal? Norwegian death metal or whatever?
Yeah, go.
Right.
I want to ask you guys about the Mass Ave compilation. How did that happen? Both you guys are on there. How did that come about?
Richie?
It was a Rhino Records thing, and I think Brett Milano had a lot to do with kind of, you know, deciding what bands were on it, you know?
Yeah.
So that was just nice to have a copy out on a compilation that actually... had you know, international sales, and that was cool. It was just nice to be part of. all those other bands.
I thought that was really well done, that record. And after listening to the whole thing a couple of different times, I really like I Want to Help You And by Liars.
Oh, yeah.
I think that song kicks ass.
Yeah. Jeff actually lives in the same city as I do. He lives across town.
Where?
In Malden.
Malden?
Yeah, yeah.
How's he doing? How's his vision? Can he see?
I think he's doing okay. I think he has a gig coming up pretty soon. You know?
Wow. I learned a lot from that guy with DMZ. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I thought they were the hottest thing ever. That was just amazing.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about American Garage Rock until way after the fact that he'd been playing it on stage at the Rat without me knowing that. Like,
yeah.
You're going to miss me and all that stuff in the elevators. But that guy like was like the Encyclopedia Britannica of Garage Rock, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, is there anything coming up between both you in the future, or would you like to see another compilation?
Well, Richie and I should have our own double album.
Absolutely.
You know, with a full gatefold, like Tommy, but only two records.
There you go.
Actually, Tommy was only two.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. You know what? Last May, I got into writing again, because I always wanted to. One of my great regrets is the Spy Master. You talked about covering Spy Master.
Yeah, my band, and other bands.
There was a time, once upon a time, in Boston, not in Hollywood, in Boston, that LePest was going to do a record about Spy Master, and there's a story behind that Richie knows about the girlfriend that I met, that her father was the Spy Master.
Absolutely.
James Angleton. It was crazy, but we were going to write a whole thing, and that was when a guy named Wayne McGuire was kind of involved in it. He helped me write the lyrics for Spy Master. And I recently sat down, Richie, last May, and wrote about five or six songs that would go with the Spy Master thing.
Do you still have the flashcards?
Oh my God, you gave me those flashcards. Holy shit.
I have pages and pages and pages of McGuire Spy terminology.
Oh, you sent... Now, how did you send me those? Like, photos?
I think I might have sent those...
Email?
I forget how I sent them to you, but if you need them again, I got them.
Yeah, because I should send you some of these things I recorded. They're just on my iPhone. It's just playing
awesome.
My guitar and vocal to a beat coming off the, computer, but... But it would be interesting to do, and I could almost see myself doing it. I don't know if it's 40 years too late, but...
Well, I remember I was trying to get...
It's always pertinent.
I imagine Richie and my band would love to have you guys come up and sit in and play a song or something, you know?
Okay.
I've been trying to get Peter to come up for a while.
I know.
Even when I've been down in New York, I tried to get you to come, but I know one of these days we'll do it.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. You mentioned iPhones. Have you guys ever pondered what life might have been like if the technology that we have today, like being able to record on an iPhone or just on a computer with one of those, one of those recording programs, how do you think it might have changed the way that you approached your work? Or would it?
Well, we probably would have had a million followers.
Sure.
So that would have changed a lot.
Yeah, the reason for the record companies is gone now.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Insane. I still get, royalty statements from BMI and stuff. And it's like, it'll say like Better Off Dead, 2,000 plays.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll say like $1.38.
So, don't spend it all in one place.
Pretty wild.
My band got a check for 79 cents.
Oh my God! What you doing?
You win.
Oh, we split it four ways.
You gotta frame that stuff.
That's crazy.
Frame that stuff. No, it really is. I don't know how bands are doing it, except they're all playing out now.
That's the revenue stream right there. You've got a tour.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Do you have fans from the past like kind of track you down?
The thing on Facebook, a lot of the people I communicate with, I don't know who they are, but they know who I am, and we talk and stuff. So it's really fun, actually.
Yeah.
Really, yeah, it's on Facebook. It has made some good connections to
get to. Yep. The last I looked at the Better Off Dead YouTube, it was like 165,000 views.
Wow.
That's not so bad.
That's,
huh?
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think our band has 29 plays.
Well, listen, dude, you got to work on it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's unacceptable.
We're slacking.
So listen, you guys, I'd like to play a couple of tracks. And then we'll come back and talk. So I want to play a couple of Pest. I want to do Better Off Dead and Spy Master.
Okay.
And from the solo project, Peter, I want to do Love at First Sight. And Richie, I want to mention that your latest record, which I think came out the beginning of last year, is Black Throated Blue.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you have something you'd like to request for me to play from that one.
6 Hours Ahead.
All right.
That's a more hard power poppy one.
Oh, very cool. And you know, it's funny, you mentioned power pop when we first started talking. Was that actually because it's a very popular now. And was that really in vogue? Was that a thing?
Well, when I was saying that Band 19 were kind of hard rock, but we were also power pop, we just didn't know it. We just
That's
a few good hooks or something, and you know, now it's a whole underground theme type of thing.
Yeah, that's my point. The categorization called power pop didn't exist, but it existed. Just didn't nobody really knew that it was that, if that makes any sense.
Ricky, I feel like power pop came between punk and new wave, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, that's when it kind of started, if you want to say, like, the Paley Brothers and that sort of stuff.
The Atlantics.
You know? Right, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm friends with a couple people in the Atlantics. We had Fred Pinot sit in with the Brigands a couple times. It was really fun.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, and they're of course doing a little Billy Loss too. All right, so let me spin these tracks, and we'll come back and talk just after that. Does that sound okay?
Okay, talking to Peter Dayton from The Pest and Richie Parsons from Unnatural Acts.
All right,
we'll be back shortly.
It's WMFO in Medford.
Bye.
and I fell over what I could not tell, but I was lying at your feet. I looked up and you looked really sweet. Well, it was love at first sight. Well, alright. You picked me up and you shook me. You said, hey, are you okay? I just took one look in your eyes and all the hurt went away. Well, it was love at first sight. Well, alright. Well, it was love at first sight. Well, alright. Like the situation. In fact, it's the living end. Well, it was love at first sight. Well, alright. Well, it was love at first sight. Well, alright. First sight. Well, all right. When it was love at first sight. Well, all right. When it was love at first sight. Well, all right. When it was love at first sight. Well, all right.
Anyone 5 WMFO Medford.
Girl, 3 hours behind.
WMFO Medford. We're back, 9:53 on the evening of December 23rd. Mike and Mike here with Richie Parsons and Peter Dayton.
Peter and Richie, could you hear the songs we were playing?
No, as a matter of fact, I drove home from work in my pajamas and cracked a beer.
Okay. Okay, we can get, tell them what we played, Mike.
We played some really cool stuff. Let's see. There was Better Off Dead, La Peste. There was Spy Master, La Peste. There was Love at First Sight, Peter Dayton Band. And Richie's request from the latest record of yours from last year, from Black Throated Blue, that was 6 hours ahead. That was a really nice song. Very power poppy. Really nice.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So, anything we're going to see? I know, Richie, you're still doing stuff, and Peter, you mentioned you're writing again. Will we hear stuff in? One thing I'd like to ask also, did you guys ever think of producing other bands?
I guess I produced a few things. I produced Mission of Burma's first recording.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay.
Which was pretty radical sounding.
Yeah.
I don't think they loved it. what else did I do? I did a band called The Upstarts. I did a band called, what was the band that had Radio Afghanistan? I forget the name of them. Shit. That's not good.
1645?
What's that?
I was thinking of a different band. I produced The Upstarts too. Oh.
Keith Richards? What was what was his name?
Keith Richards.
Ted Richards?
Ted Richards, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm lying. I didn't produce them. I produced The Knot. That was a different North Shore band. But hey, Peter, you know what? I got home. I walked in the house, and I told Judy I was still doing the interview, and she goes, "Well, you have to talk about bumping into Peter at the record convention in Paris."
And true. I just thought about that too.
Yeah, and Randy and Jay's American Barbecue.
Yeah, we went out that night. That was fun. Got it. I had a good time in Paris. It was really, really fun.
Is there any other things that you were never asked in an interview, or would you like to talk about, or
get something off your chest?
Yeah. not really.
I'd like to know where Wayne McGuire is.
Oh my gosh!
We
should talk about that privately because I think something happened to him. I'm not sure if he's still with us, but I think something happened to him. I thought we talked about that, Richie, no?
Yeah.
Remember?
It's kind of, it's a
mystery. Bicycle accident.
Oh, right,
He had a bicycle accident, remember?
Yes.
And I think he's not well, but because I spoke to him on the phone. He had no idea who I was.
Mm. Oh, geez, that's too bad.
Yeah,
he's in that book. He's mentioned a few times in the book Astral Weeks, The Secret History of 1968 that Ryan Walsh wrote. And every chapter, every chapter revealed, great Jonathan Richman story, great Wayne McGuire.
Oh, my God.
Just like everything tying in so good. You should really check it out. It's a great book.
I will. Have you seen Jonathan lately? Or
yeah, I talked to Jonathan a lot. He's coming again in March. Actually,
say hi to him for me.
Oh, I sure will. I spoke to him on the phone after Ava Brevna passed away. We had a long chat. Yeah,
that was sad.
Peter, are you aware of the movie? I know Richie's aware of the movie, The Boys from Nowhere.
Yeah. Why? I guess was I a boy from somewhere or what?
A friend of mine did the movie, Chris Postlin. He said he couldn't do all the bands, but he gave a slice. And I was really pushing to get your band, but he said, they already have a DVD out, and extensive But I just want to see if you're aware that I actually was at the.
I am aware. I think I've seen the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I was talking to Rick Hart the other night. I said, we really need to document what happened in this era. And I wonder if both of you were interested in doing any, writing a book, any memoirs of that era.
I don't know if I have a book in me, but I could certainly, write something and give it to someone.
Yeah,
I feel the same way, Peter. Brett Milano's book really covers it pretty well, mm-hmm. and it goes back a little further. But mm-hmm. these guys in Chicago, Hozak Records, and they've asked me like twice now to would I do a book with them. And they want to kind of maybe incorporate the Boston Groupie News into it somehow, but I don't know if I got a book in me, you know? I get the same 20 stories I've been telling since, you know, Sting accused me of Fox. So,
Well, listen, we really super appreciate Bozen having you both on. We're wrapping up at the end. We get one more minute to go.
Yeah, it was really fun hearing you guys reminisce.
Just great stuff.
Yeah.
I hope to hear more from you. Always keep in touch if anything's going on, and we will get you on the radio or whatever you want to do. And Pete, if you come up, I know me and Richie and Mike there will be there.
Yep.
Happy to hang with you.
Okay.
All right.
Don't kill me now. All right. Thanks a lot. It was really fun.
Thank you guys very much.
Richie,
we're going
to talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
Absolutely, Peter.
All right, we're going to go out.
To your wife. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays
to
you guys.
Happy holidays, guys, and thanks again.
We're
going to
go out with La Peste, and I don't know right from wrong. This is WMFO. Thank you guys so much.
Okay.
No problem.
See ya. Bye-bye.